Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. This is what the Bible says. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Verse 5, "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophets have written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's humble our hearts and get ready to hear from the Lord. My Jesus, our Savior, Lord, there is none like you. Heavenly Father, I thank you today, Lord. Father, I thank you for every family that's represented here today, Lord God. Father, I pray for those that are absent today for whatever reason that might be today, Lord. But Father, moreover today, Father, I pray that you just move me out of the way. You use me up until you can't use me anymore, Lord. Father, right now, I thank you for giving me a good time of quality time with you, Lord, to prepare for this, Lord God. So, Lord, I just pray that whatever is said and done, Lord, that you get the honor, the power, and the glory, Lord. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And we ask this and many other things in your Son Jesus Christ's name, and for his sake and his sake only. Amen. For 5 billion people on this planet, Jesus is one of the most important celebrations of their entire year. churches in every country around the planet. People will come to gather together to worship the child who would be called the Savior of the world. Amen? Amen, church? The Bible tells us that His name was sent down from heaven. The Bible tells us that His name is the hope of the world. What's His name, church? Jesus. That's His name. In those 5 billion homes that we talked about here just a few seconds ago, families will set up a little manger scene inside their house or outside in the yard. Amen? Amen. You'll see figurines of Mary and Joseph and little baby Jesus. Amen? You'll see some angels standing around and you'll see some shepherds. But when you think about that scene, it makes sense for Mary and Joseph to be there, doesn't it? Because they're Jesus' earthly parents. Amen? Having angels there makes sense since they are the messengers of God. Amen? The shepherds were there because they were the invited guests of the angels. Amen? Everybody that was there makes sense, except for the wise men, except for those magi that showed up. Where did these wise men come from? Where did these wise men come from? You see, these wise men, they are the mystery guests of the Christmas account. I just want to let you all on this little mystery, because if you understand the wise men or these magi, we need to know who they were and where they came from, all right? Then we will understand what happened to our world as a result of the coming Christ child. Amen? These wise men, they were court advisors to the king of Parthia. They were descendants of the Babylonian wise men. At the time of birth of Jesus, the two most powerful empires of the world were the Roman and the Parthian empires. The Romans had conquered the Greek empire and had taken over the western territories won over by Alexander the Great. The Parthians had conquered the eastern lands, the former Persian Empire, and previously ruled by the Babylonians. And they had similar court structures and customs. When they had a king, they were also counseled by a group of a priestly caste of men that were astrologers, these wise men. You see, this Christmas account took place only a few hundred miles from the Parthian border. Parthia's capital changed location several times throughout its history. But most likely these wise men came from the capital city, somewhere towards the northern part of that empire. Now, the question goes on. You might ask, how did these magi know about Jesus? How did these advisors to the king of Parthia, how did they know that an important king was coming to be born to the Jews? In 605 BC, the Jewish nation of Israel was overrun by the Babylonians, and many of the nation's brightest and best were dragged into captivity. Most were settled into refugee camps outside of the capital of Babylon by the Cherbar River. Some were brought into the Babylonian court to be assimilated into the Babylonian culture. One of those brought into that court was a young man named Daniel, all right? Now, the Bible tells us that there is nothing new up under the sun, amen? But when I did the research about this exile that was going on with these Babylonians, When the Hebrews were taken over by the Babylonians, they took their best and their brightest of their youth, all right? They took their best and their brightest, the most athletic, the most intelligent young men, and they took them into captivity to redirect what they had been taught, okay? But in today's times, that almost sounds like what's going on in our world today. In some parts of our world, you have people that traffic children to exploit them. This is the same thing that was going on back then is going on now. Daniel, with the help of God, became the chief of the Babylonian wise men 3 years later. Daniel lived a long life, and he was part of the royal court for nearly 70 years. And there was a takeover by the Babylonians in 605 B.C., and it took almost nearly 20 years of fighting. And these exiles were taken, these Israelites were taken into exile, and small pockets of these Israelites were planted in the Babylonian Empire. And this is why the wise men knew of the Messiah's arrival, because these exiles, they kept all of the Old Testament scrolls. Now, if you have your outline, let's begin on the outline. What did the Old Testament say about the Messiah? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 says, he would be born of a woman. You see, this gives a description of the Savior to come. It indicates of mankind's Redeemer to come. Amen? Amen. It indicates about mankind's Deliverer. Amen? It was talking about mankind's being able to be reconciled back to God through this Messiah. Amen? And these wise men, they knew to look also for a newly born baby boy. All right. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 66, it talks about a suffering servant. Amen? I'm going to read just a little bit from that. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 66. There is no Isaiah chapter 40, verse 66. Let's keep on going. Excuse me. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17 speaks about a star rising out of Israel. It speaks about a star will rise out of Israel. The wise men, you see, they were great astrologers. And they believed in the cosmos, and they believed that the cosmos communicated to them and them alone. And you see, they believed that the stars' alignments and their configurations, they believed that they helped control peoples and nations, etc., because they were being associated with the stars. You see, these astrologers, they even had the first lunar table. They used stars, the moon, and the sun to tell about their crops that they needed to plant, even back then. And at the time of Jesus' birth, something happened to the constellation of Pisces. It informed the wise men that a star of Israel had been born. Amen? Amen. Pisces also talks about Jonah also, because Jonah, the prophet, he was swallowed up into a whale. This prophet sent to the same people, Jonah delivered them outside of Nineveh. You see, Jonah had the same type of... The sign of Pisces is also the sign that was used in the New Testament to determine who the Christians were. All right. Now, in 2 Chronicles, it talks about he has come as king. You see, God promised Solomon and all of his descendants that the descendants of David will rule forever. You see, the wise men knew that this one born of woman came, and he would be coming from a kingly lineage. He would be called the son of David. All right. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, it says that he has come as God and man. This describes the Messiah as both God and man. All right. In Isaiah chapter 53, here we go. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 5, verse 5 through 10. You see, this Messiah, he had come to die. And this is what the Bible says right here. It says, but he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7 says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. In verse 9 it says, he was assigned to a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. In verse 10 it says, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see that his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. So all this talks about the suffering servant. Isaiah describes how the king, this God-man, will die. Amen? Amen. You see, the gifts, the wise men, they brought gifts. They brought gold. This gold was to signify the gift for him being, this child being born for being royal. The magi, they brought frankincense. This was to show this baby's divinity. And they brought myrrh, which was a burial gift to show that he was born to die. Amen? So that just goes to show that God has no respect to a person. He sent his one and only son from all of the glories in heaven to come down to dirty, filthy planet earth, to walk amongst men, to let his glory be shown in the earth. Amen? Amen. You see, this was not a lucky coincidence that God sent his son. God set up the events of Christmas. 9 months before, God sent angels to communicate with the shepherds about the birth of the coming Savior. God sent Daniel to Eastern people to prepare the wise men and the king to respond to the birth of his son. You see, the wise men, they came. The wise men came in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, said that they saw a star in the east, and they came to worship him. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 12, says that they had been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod the way they had come to their country by another route. So it says that when the wise men left seeing Jesus, something must have changed in their lives miraculously. Because the Bible says that they changed the route that they were going to their countries by a different route. But I don't know about y'all this morning today, church, but that sounds like repentance to me. When you decide to change the way that you're going and turn around and go a different way because you came into an encounter with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You see, these wise men, they came and worshiped, and part of their worship involved gifts. And part of their worship involved bowing down. You see, these two actions became a central part of Christmas. And this should be a central part of Christmas in every nation. And this should be a central part of our worship today. Amen? Churches all over the world, they receive gifts for Christmas that fund good works all around the world for Jesus. We have the Annie Armstrong Fund and all those different types of funds. But all over the world, people will come to just to bow down for Jesus for just who he is. You see, we must learn how to bow down humbly before him. We should be able to just lay all of our burdens down in front of him, because we have to learn how to come to Jesus just as we are. We have to come to him when we're worried, when we're wounded, and when we're sad. And then we can find a resting place in him, and that will make us glad. You see, to God be the glory for the great things that he's done, that for so loved he the world, that he gave us his one and only son, and that he would yield up his life as an atonement for sin. And that way the life gate will be opened up so that all could go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, people. Jump up and shout and rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Christ Jesus, his son. Come on and give him the glory for the great things that he's done. You know, Christmas time is a time where we're with our family and all of our loved ones. And Christmas time is sometime a time when we're around people that we don't even want to be around. Amen? Christmas time is a time when we give gifts to try to get respect or we try to get love. Christmas time is a time when we should really just accept the gift that was given by God above when He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, when the Word became flesh and came to dwell amongst men. Amen? Amen. Jesus, He knew no sin, but He came to the world of sin so that He could declare His righteousness in the earth. Amen? Amen. And when Jesus came, He wanted to show, when God sent Jesus, He sent Him to show His love to us through Him. Amen? The Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, and that forever whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Amen? For God so loved the world, the whole world, not just a few people in the world, but the world. Amen? The Bible also says that through Jesus Christ, when He paid that sin price for us up on Calvary's cross, when they nailed His hands, when they nailed His feet, and when they pierced His side, and when the blood came flowing down, you see, that's what it was. See, when God sent Jesus down, He wrapped His body in human flesh, amen? He wrapped His body in human flesh so He could come dwell amongst men. But the most important thing, when He wrapped His body up, He didn't send Him by UPS, amen? He didn't send Him by the U.S. Postal Service, amen? He didn't send Him by Yahoo, but He sent Him through time, amen? He sent Him through time. He sent Him from eternity to walk around on planet Earth so that we might learn from Him. But the thing what I was saying was that, but through His blood, through His redeeming blood, that all men could be saved through Him, amen? Amen. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, how precious is that flow that makes us white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, God, He knows no respect of persons. He knows no respect of persons. He picked lowly Mary. The Bible says that she came from a lowly estate. She didn't have nothing. This poor little girl. And then Elizabeth, this old barren woman, was able to have a baby also with John the Baptist right there. But see, God, He can use anybody, anything, at any time. Amen? Amen. He can use anybody, any place, any time. Because I'm a living witness of it because He used me. Amen? You see, I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply sinking in. Sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and out from the waters He lifted me, now safe and I. It was His love that lifted me. It was His love that lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was His love that lifted me. Amen. That's all I have for you this morning. But let me just say this to you right now. If there's anybody out there today that hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, today is your day. Today is your time. Today is the day of salvation. The song says, this is the day that the Lord has made. It's not just the day that the Lord has made, but this is your day of salvation right here, because this is what Jesus came for. Jesus came for us to reconcile ourselves back to God through Him. Amen? Amen. Miss Berta, come on up. Y'all come on up. We're going to sing the song of invitation right now. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.